step behind me, and she said to me, she said, I don't know that if Jesus came today, I would be ready. In fact, I would be left behind. It'd be a terrible thing, my brother and sister, my friend tonight, if you're here tonight and you don't know that you know that you know that you know that you're a Christian, a child of God. It'd be a terrible thing to have to be left behind and go through hell on earth in the form of seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls as described in Revelation chapter 6 all the way to Revelation chapter 18. All right, having said that, I told her, I said, well, we know what you can do about that. You need to get ready. And there's some of you tonight that maybe deep down inside, you don't know. And Jesus could come back. We don't know the hour. In fact, the Lord said, be you also ready, for you think not the hour the Son of Man comes. Now, I know y'all think this is fairy tales, and you think this is Walt Disney. It's not Walt Disney. It's not fairy tales. It's God's Word. And God has fulfilled His Word in the past, when He made other prophetic passages and predictions, and you can mark it down, He's going to fulfill His Word in the future. You look at the first coming of Jesus and so many prophecies that have been fulfilled, just like God said. It's an absolute certainty that we can, with utmost confidence, depend what God said He's going to do, He's going to do. I know it without a shadow of doubt. All right? And so, the good news about this young lady, shared with her that night, how she could have a personal relationship with Jesus. Notice I didn't say how she could be religious. Notice I didn't say how she could join the church. Notice I didn't say how she should just be baptized. But rather I said, hey, you need to get this thing right. And there's some of you tonight, deep down inside, in a moment, we just may give you that opportunity to say, I'm not ready. I want to be ready, though. I want to be ready. I believe Jesus could come back any moment and I would be left behind. You know some loved ones that would be left behind. Maybe some mamas and daddies. I believe at the rapture there will be some taken, some will be left behind. That's a reference in Matthew chapter 24, and obviously that's concerning the second coming. But that's what's going to happen. Two working in the field, one taken, one left behind. Two in the factory, one taken, one left behind. I believe there will be babies, mamas holding their babies in their arms, and the babies will be snatched away as the mama didn't have time for God, didn't want to know God, didn't want to serve God, but want to do her own thing and be left behind to take the mark of the beast. What a sad day. Let me tell you this story about this young lady. She did, though, indeed, realize she was lost. She was a sinner. She couldn't save herself. And she cried up to Jesus to forgive her, trusted in His sacrificial death and atoning precious blood that night that she came up to me and was gloriously born again. Isn't that good news? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Isn't that good news? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We bless your holy name. By the way, she was baptized after that. You can be too. Be right with the Lord. In fact, you won't have peace and real joy until you make that thing right with God. All right. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Are you there? Look on with somebody if you don't have your Bible. I want you to get these passages down. Why? Because you're going to have somebody come up to you and say, where is this in the Bible? You know that thing is going to happen. You know everybody's talking about the rapture. And where do you get that from the Bible? And I want you to know where you find it. You don't have to fumble around and fiddle around and say, oh, I don't know. I got to go call the preacher. No, don't call me, brother. You know where it's at. That's the purpose of tonight. So get your pencil out, get your pen out, and start taking some notes. Will you do it? I challenge you. In the name of Jesus, take notes. You'll stay engaged. But as we're fixing to read, let me ask you a question. What are some events that have taken place in our world that certainly have led up to this strategic moment, even right now, that let us know that we are on the brink of Jesus coming again? Some events. Somebody give me some events that you know have taken place that let us know without a shadow of doubt that we're on the brink of Jesus coming again. All right, Janet?
Israel became a nation in 1948.
In 1948. Is that a prediction in the Bible? Where's that found in the Bible? It is a fulfillment, isn't it? Learn this. And we'll have time to go into this probably more so in the future. We studied in our Sunday school class. There's a word that I want you to learn tonight. And you may have heard it, and you may have mentioned it in Sunday school class, ought to know it.
It's a word. You ready for it? It's called Aliyah. Say it with me. Aliyah. Say it again.
Aliyah.
That is a Hebrew word that describes a situation where the Jews go back to their homeland. And there are three Aliyahs found in the Bible. First, you'll notice that Abraham was called, and then, and we'll go more in detail to this, but Jacob in Genesis chapter 46 ended up over in Egypt because of a famine, and Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. That's found in Exodus chapter 12, and consequently, they wandered under Moses' leadership, and God did not allow Moses to enter into the promised land. Rather, Joshua, you remember in the book of Joshua, is there going into the promised land. That's the first Aliyah. Let's say that word together.
Aliyah.
That word means to go back to Jerusalem. That's the literal or Hebrew word, Aliyah. And then furthermore, you know the people didn't drive out the inhabitants of the land. And so consequently, they mixed and mingled with the people. All this is Old Testament. And thus, God told the prophets, if they do not drive out the inhabitants, if they start worshiping idols, then God was going to allow them to be taken in captivity, which actually came to pass in 722 B.C. The Syrians came and overtook the northern kingdom of Israel, took them back into captivity. And not only that, but in 605 B.C., the Babylonians came into the southern kingdom of Judah and took them as well into Babylon. By the way, that's where the book of Daniel will be the setting, in Babylon. That's where not only Daniel, but the book of Ezekiel. When you read the book of Ezekiel, understand Ezekiel's in Babylon. Understand Daniel's in Babylon. And thus they're writing to the Jewish people. But here's the good news. They came back to their homeland under the decree of Cyrus. This is found in Ezra chapter 1. This is found not only in Ezra chapter 1, but the prophets Haggai and Zechariah and Zerubbabel. 50,000 Jews were allowed to return to their homeland. And that, again, is a fulfillment of the Aliyah. Let's say that word together.
Aliyah.
And then in 70 A.D., church history records and history records, Titus, the Roman general, stormed into Jerusalem, Israel, and the temple was destroyed, stone upon stone, and the Jews were dispersed. We call that diaspora. Diaspora is a word meaning the Jews were dispersed. But Jews have been returning to their homeland. Where's that found? In the book of Exodus chapter 34. And in the book of Ezekiel chapter 34. And then in Ezekiel chapter 36. And then further in Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to know where the Bible talks about this stuff. And the Word of God declares that the Jews will return to their homeland. Make no mistake about it. God is a covenant-keeping God. He's going to keep His covenant with His people. And we'll talk more about those different covenants as we go along. So the Jews have been returning to their land. And guess what? There are going to be more to return to their homeland, according to Ezekiel chapter 37. All right, what other world events have taken place to let us know we're on the brink? We are at the door. We are closer than we've ever been. What other events do you know in our world that let us know the rapture is very near?
I don't know the scripture, but isn't there supposed to be a one world currency?
All right, good.
The euro?
Yes, that is exactly right. In addition to that one world currency, let's piggyback on that. What else is one world? Government, currency, religion. All right, all of these terms are found. And that will be a fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 6, the opening of the seals, not the white horse rider, but the black horse rider, a penny for a wheat, no peep, a wheat for a penny. Not only that, but in Revelation 13, verse 16 through 18, He caused all those small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark of the beast. Let him that hath understanding is the number of a man. The number is 600, 366. So, the one world currency, and the world, how many, this G20 summit, you see about all that? Well, why are they getting together? These are 20 of the wealthiest nations, so we're told, in the world. Well, you know why they came together even last year? What's happened over the last year or two? with Spain and the European Union and the financial calamities that not only Europe was facing, but America was facing too. Hello. Well, what we're talking about is let's come up with a currency, let's come up with a plan. So all this is moving that way. And then the world, one world government, as well as the fulfillment of the revived Roman Empire found in Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, as well as the book of Revelation chapter 17. All right, I know I'm getting ahead, I'm going to jump in some rabbits, but that's all right. All of this is tied in with Bible prophecy. All right, are you in 1 Thessalonians 4? Let's look at it, all right? Look at it with me. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I like to begin in verse 13. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And I mentioned this morning, there's no such thing as purgatory as in the scripture. And I hate to disagree with you. Some of you may have got a background in Catholicism, but personally, my personal views of the, there it is right there, amen. The personal views of the scripture are that when a person dies, either they go to heaven or they go to hell. No middle ground. There's no intermediate state, as some would have us to believe. I ask people every once in a while, what do you think is going to happen to you after you die? They say, that's just going to be it. Wrong. It's not annihilation. Why do I know that? Because Jesus talked about that in Luke chapter 16. He said a poor man, Lazarus, who was escorted by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man was, that is, he died and he was buried and in hell he lived his life. I want you to know, I believe what Jesus says more than what man says. And the Lord said that. So you need to make that claim right. You need to make it right. All right, keep reading. Now the body's going back to the dust. That's what that word sleep means. Komeo means the body's going back to the dust. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. Verse 13. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. Oh, I wouldn't have hope either if I wasn't a Christian. But thank God we got hope. We don't have to live in fear. Not so. We read the last page. Look at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do believe it. I said we do believe it.
Amen.
Yes, we do. I believe it with all my heart. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That word prevent means go before. Shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord will, notice, the Lord himself. He's not going to send an angel. He's not going to send an armed angel. Praise God, he's coming by himself. He said, the Lord will descend from heaven. I'm going to try not to preach, amen. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, and then look at verse 17. Are y'all ready for this? You don't want to miss this. I know you've heard me quote this a lot, and you probably quoted it too, but don't miss this, what I'm fixing to share with you. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? That is the word, but we get our word rapture. How many knew that? Let me see your hand. The word is harpazo. Literally, it means a snatching with force. But those of us who remain and are alive shall be caught up, we saw that in the video, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord of the air, and so shall we ever be the Lord. What's he talking about there? He's talking about this, beloved. I can't help but to think of it. Every time I walk to the cemetery, I think, oh God, one day Jesus is coming again. The eastern sky is going to split, and the trumpet's going to sound, and Jesus is going to step out on the clouds of glory. I don't care if that body has been burned. I don't care if that body has been absolutely annihilated, and that is blown to smithereens over the Pacific or Atlantic Ocean. That body's going to come up from that grave, and a new body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And thus, we are going, those of us that remain, for example, Jesus came back tonight, the graveyard be empty. Folks that leave, that body would be reunited with the Spirit. The Spirit goes to be with the Lord immediately after death, absent from the body, present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. But what's going to take place is that Spirit is going to be reunited with that body. when Christ comes again. We got a lot to look forward to, don't we? You just, this old body's wearing out, isn't it? But thank God one day we will have a brand new body. And you see, then those of us, if you came back tonight, we'd be gone. I don't know about y'all, but I've always wanted to fly without an airplane. Amen? I've always wanted to fly without an airplane. Boy, that'd be wonderful. Just snatched up away through the clouds. Glory. Wow, that would be wonderful. And so, keep reading verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Underline it. Note it. Shall be caught up. You see that in verse 17? If you do, shake your head. Alright? Shall be caught up together with them. Who? Them. Meaning, exactly, those that have gone on before us. Caught up together with them. You talk about a homecoming. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever, 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 and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's say that together. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Say it again. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, can I tell y'all something? This may not seem important to you, but I'll assure you there's students that you rub shoulders with in your classroom, at school, who are wondering what in the world is going on in Syria, in the Middle East. What does the Bible have to say about all this? As a matter of fact, I'm getting telephone calls here at the church. People are wondering. People that aren't even Christians are saying, I look at the news, I see what's going on. What do you think is going to happen? There's never been a greater time to share your faith with somebody else than right now. I believe that with all my heart. Okay? And then 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Note this, in the rapture, there'll be the resurrection of the saints. There'll be the rapture, the return of the Lord Jesus. There'll be the reunion of loved ones. And there'll be the reassurance of God's promises. Hallelujah. Is there another passage of scripture in the Bible that talks about the rapture? And where? Where? Alright, 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the goal. I hear those pages turning. Praise God. Get in the Word. Know what this app. Listen to me. When I see you next week, look at me. When I see you next week, I want you to be, look at me, young people. I want you to be able to tell me when I say, where's the rapture found? I want you to be able to tell me where it's found. Okay? Is that a good challenge? Tell me where it's found in your Bible. Not fumbling around saying, oh, da, 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 da. I want you to tell me where it's found. All these scripture verses, okay? That's a good challenge, man. Why? Because somebody might ask you. You won't have to, well, let me run and get my Bible. You need to know it. It's real simple. You can know exactly where these verses are found. Where's the first passage? Did we look at it a moment ago? Good, good, good. Where's the second passage? Good, good, good. Look, 1 Corinthians 15. Again, this is the great resurrection chapter. And if you would, skip on over to verse 50 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there's no doubt that this is referring to the resurrection. Jesus was crucified, verse 3 and 4. He died for our sins. According to Scripture, buried, third day, he rose again. And then 1 Corinthians 15. Look over there in verse 50. Let's start in verse 50, okay? Can you get it to verse 50? Alright. In verse 50, you ready? If you're ready, say amen. Amen. Now as I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit in corruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Anytime you see the word mystery in the New Testament, note that it's the word mysterion, which means that which is somewhat hidden at the moment. I show you a mystery. Look at this, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. There's that same word again. Cemetery. That's where we get our word cemetery. If you don't believe it, check it out. Look up the word sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What? In the moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Faster than you can bat an eye. I believe GE has calculated 1/1000ths of a second. Faster. And literally the word twinkling of an eye pictures that, according to Greek scholars, as a wing of a gnat buzzing. The swiftness, the rapidity. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Look at this, keep reading. Behold, I show you mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, of the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Somebody said that ought to be over every nursery in every church. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Y'all will get it later. Right? Okay, we've looked at those passages. Who can tell me where else the Bible talks about the rapture? Where? All right, Gary said Matthew 24. How many agree with Gary that the rapture is found in Matthew 24? Let me see your hand. If you agree with him. The rapture now. Notice I said the rapture. All right. Is it found in Matthew 24? Can anybody else? I'm going to hold that thought just for a moment. Is there any other passage in the Bible where the rapture is referred to? And where at? You know it. You're just not thinking of it. Guess where? Turn to that great gospel of John. Guess what chapter? Help me out, somebody. Chapter 14. How do you know chapter 14 of the gospel of John? Look at John chapter 14. And we're going to hold the thought about Matthew 24 because you're right, it is a reference to Jesus coming again. However, technically speaking, literally, grammatically, hermeneutically speaking, it's really the second coming of Christ, not at the rapture, but at his coming in glory and power. We're going to see that in a little while, but that's a very good guess. All right, John chapter 14. Are you there in John 14? Turn over to John 14. Ah, the goal is being accomplished, getting in the scripture, getting in the word. Okay, John 14, everybody's familiar with this? The Lord Jesus had just washed his disciples' feet, and he told them as he's done for them to go do likewise. We're beginning in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. John chapter 14, that's beginning verse 1. All right, you ready? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You see that? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, without laboring the point, many of you that have studied Jewish customs understand immediately that this was a picture of a Jewish wedding. The groom and the bride would make this covenant. The groom would tell the bride as they sealed this covenant that he was going back to his father's house until that day when he consummated the marriage. And in his father's house, he was preparing the place for his bride. Meanwhile, the bride, watch this, the bride had to be ready, watching, and ready to go when the groom came. She did not know the hour. It could be at noon, it might be at night, it might be in the morning. She had to be watching. She had to be ready. And so it is with us, the church. We too need to be watching and being ready for our coming of our bridegroom. And here is the rest of the story. The bridegroom would, at that appointed time, send out a procession of wedding guests shouting as they walked to the bride's house, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh! Behold, the bridegroom cometh! Behold, the bridegroom cometh!" And the groom would come to that bride's house, at her father's house. He would sweep her off her feet. Away they would go and consummate the marriage. Usually in Jewish feast, it would consist of 7 days of celebration. And then they would go back to their father's house. This beautiful picture of Jesus coming back. We are called the bride of Christ in the Bible. If you want to know where that's found, if Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or any such thing, but that it should be without spot, without blemish. All right. Can anybody think of another place in the Bible where the rapture is mentioned in the New Testament? Somebody else tell me another place. If this is a biblical event, certainly we'll know where it's found in the Bible, right? Absolutely. Well, where else do we find it in the Bible? We've looked, who can name the verses we've looked at? Somebody up here on the front row. Tell me where we looked tonight. All right, tell me the verses where they're found, too. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 and what else? Is that where it's found? Wait a minute. 4:15 is not where the verse is found. We started there, but where is the real verse that speaks of the rapture? 1 Thessalonians 4 what? 16 and 17. All right? Don't miss it. 16 and 17. I'm not being hard on you. I just want you to get it down. I want you to know it. You know it. All right? Number one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can say verse 13 through 18. You'd be accurate. Or 16 and 17. Secondly, where is the rapture found?
15:5.
All right, 1 Corinthians 15, where? 50 following. We got 40, we got 5, we got 50. Hello. Are we on the same page or what? Let's get on the same page. Y'all got the same Bible? I do. I'll tell you where mine is. Mine is over here on page, let me see. Mine's on page 1221. So y'all turn to page 1221. Just kidding. So it is 1 Corinthians 15. Very good. So we got 1 Thessalonians 4. We got 1 Corinthians 15. What else do we have? Good. John 14, 1 through 4. Is there another passage in the New Testament? We've got Matthew 24 pending, but we'll come back to it. Because as I mentioned to you a moment ago, even though these signs are indicative of what will be before the Lord comes in the rapture, in the context of Matthew 24, if you read Matthew 24, you find out Jesus is talking to the Jews. And then he's talking about these tribulation signs in the heavens. Now that's not going to be, hear me, that's not going to be evident in the rapture. The blood and the moon and the sun and all these climatic events. Rather, you can find those events being described in Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter 8. So the rapture is not going to include some of the signs that are mentioned in Matthew 24. There will be some signs that will be mentioned in Matthew 24, but literally and grammatically, historically, Matthew 24 is written for the tribulation era. And then when Christ comes back, put up the diagram just a moment. If y'all can go back to that, please. Put up the diagram just for a moment. And so you'll see in Matthew 24 where the diagram of the tribulation, the rapture, and then notice to the right. Notice to the right. Second coming, Battle of Armageddon. That's better. Look at Matthew 24. Y'all see that under the marriage supper of the Lamb? Y'all see that? Look under the marriage supper of the Lamb. Matthew 24, 30, 31, and then 25, etc. You can see here Matthew 24 is all. Now these are some signs listed in verses 3 through 8. We could technically say that these could be, and certainly these are signs today that are evident, so I give you credit there. Some of those first few signs in the verses, but if you really take the whole passage from a literal viewpoint, it's better a reference to the second coming of Christ and glory and power. By the way, what are those signs mentioned in Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8? Somebody tell me what those signs are. Right, wars and rumors of wars. Certainly that is going to be a realistic sign, and certainly we're seeing that today. Who thinks what's going to happen next week, Tuesday night and following? Do you think America's going to attack Syria? How many think America's going to attack Syria? How many don't think America's going to attack Syria? How many don't care? Okay. Only God knows. Only God knows. Will it cause World War III? I don't know. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And there's certainly going to be wars and rumors of wars. Okay? Even in tribulation era, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. We'll be getting more into that. Okay, what else is those signs mentioned in Matthew 24? All right, nation against nation. That's kind of wars against, and rumors of wars, nation against nation. A false Christ will rise in my name. The word false Christ is the word pseudo-prophetai. False prophets will rise. By the way, as I mentioned this morning, the 11 o'clock service, Harold Camping mentioned not this past May, but May a year ago, Jesus is coming again. How many of you heard that so-called prediction? And then he changed it from May until, I think it was sometime later that year. Needless to say, the Lord hadn't come back. And not only that, but what about the Mayan calendar? In December of this past year, 2012, supposedly the world was coming to an end. And there have been numerous false prophets. What about Marshall Applewhite? How many are old enough to remember that? Remember when he said a spaceship's coming back and they drank the poison and they died? Y'all remember that when that happened not long ago? And then, of course, the Jim Jones Guyana tragedy. By the way, we were only a few miles from where that took place last year in Guyana. So there should be no doubt about it. There'd be false Christ. Did y'all know there's a man up now in Miami, Florida that says he's Jesus? Y'all know that? Have you heard that? So we shouldn't be overwhelmed by this. We should, Jesus said it's going to happen. At this stage, it will happen in our day as well. Okay, any other signs you find in Matthew 24? Famines, earthquakes. And notice it says earthquakes in diverse places. Now, I don't have the stats with me tonight, but as we were watching the video about earthquakes, how many of you have read that actually, and this is recorded, documented evidence, earthquakes have intensified over the years. It's documented. 7.0 on the Richter scale. And the number of them has certainly increased. Matter of fact, didn't what their tremor felt like around this area where the earth shook? Where? Billingsville. And so this is a reality. Earthquakes in diverse places. Anything else you see there? Those signs that are mentioned? Okay, God's word, Matthew 24:12, the gospel shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come, said the Lord Jesus. And certainly we're seeing an explosion of technology, are we not? Is that not a reference to Daniel, where Daniel said that and knowledge would increase? And we're being inundated with technology, unlike years ago. And so certainly these are some things happening. All right, anybody else can think of another event or another sign? Mention it, Matthew 24. Alright? Read it for us. Be also ready. Verse 44, did you say it? Matthew 24? Yeah. Be also ready, for you think not the hour the Son of Man comes. What does your Bible say, Brother Russell?
Same thing you said.
Alright? So be also ready, for you think not the hour the Son of Man comes. Alright. Where else do we find rapture in the Bible? There's one more passage I want you to know. One more passage. Now the rapture, where is it found?
Offenses.
Okay, offenses. That may be true, although that's not really what I was looking for at that time, Lynn. But anyway, I agree with you. Can I give y'all a hint? We looked at it this morning. Were y'all awake in church today? Where did we look this morning? Where, Revelation? Turn to chapter 4 of Revelation. All right, if you got questions, some of you got some questions. I see your wheels turning. Again, I don't have all the answers. We'll just talk about it. We don't know them right now. We'll look them up and we'll say, hey, I don't know it. But we'll come back and talk about it as we have this wonderful time in the Word of God together. All right? Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Remember that? We looked at it this morning. How many were here this morning? Let me see your hand. Okay, I'm not going to ask you how many. I'm not going to ask you how many weren't here, but some of you were not. But look, in Revelation 4, all right? Let's read together. After this, metatauta is the word after this, meaning after chapter 3, after chapter 2. What happens in chapter 2 and chapter 3? The seven churches. Ephesus is a church, but back to the church. Smyrna, persecuted church, but the pure church. Thyatira, feminine church, but a fruitful church. Pergamos, warm church, but a worldly church. Sardis, beautiful church, but a dead church. Philadelphia, Philaleo Adelphos. Philadelphia, brotherly love, a mission-minded church. And then finally, Laodicea. Laodicea, people ruling. Laodicea, ruling. Lukewarm. Luxurious church, but a lukewarm church. So there you have the seven churches mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3. And by the way, if you want to find a good outline for the book of Revelation, I mentioned it this morning, Revelation 1:19. John said, write the things which you've seen, the things which are, the things that shall be hereafter. Write the things which you've seen, the glorified Christ, chapter 1. Write the things which that are, seven churches, chapter 2 and 3. Write the things which shall be hereafter, chapter 4 through chapter 22. All right, let's look at chapter 4 of Revelation. Are you there? After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice I heard was as it were a trumpet. Notice the trumpet talking with me. How many know a trumpet can't talk? Somebody tell me what this is in the Bible. Let's see how well you listened this morning. What did I describe when we looked at that phrase, as it were a trumpet talking with me? Somebody tell me what we talked about this morning. Very good, Lynn. Isn't that a good blessing? Let's give her a hand. Isn't that good? Amen, amen, amen. It's apocalyptic literature. When you see phrases like that in the Bible, there's certain principles, certain rules, certain guidelines whereby you interpret that. We call that hermeneutics, the science of interpretation. When you read prophecy particularly, it uses apocalyptic literature. But apocalyptic literature uses these symbols to reveal truth, a trumpet talking. But it's described and defined by other scripture. We look at other scripture and we determine that this is not a literal trumpet talking. Rather, this is a reference to the rapture of the church, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Good. Let's keep reading. And after this, he said, I looked and behold, there was a door open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, and said what? Come up hither. Come up hither. Keep in mind, John's exile on the Isle of Patmos. God's given this heavenly vision. Come up hither. And he said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, how many know the rapture has not taken place yet? But this is a picture of the rapture. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. How many knew that? Let me see your hand. All right, good. You learned something tonight. We've learned about the word aliyah. Say it with me. Aliyah. What is aliyah? The Jews returning back to their homeland, back to Jerusalem. And then we've learned some passages dealing with the rapture. Have we not? Revelation chapter 4. Here we are right here again. Now, let me just share something with you and then I want to entertain some Q&A time just for a moment. The reason I personally believe, and not everybody believes this, but I personally do, and if you believe different, that's fine. We can still have fellowship. That the rapture, go back to that chart for a moment, if you would, please. These are two different events. They're not the same. And when you study prophecy, there are really several views of studying prophecy. Let me share these with you and then we'll move on. There's what is called an allegorical view. That is, when they read the Bible, they say, well, that's not literally, it's figuratively, and they read it from an allegorical viewpoint. For example, the covenants God made with his people, they said that's not really going to be fulfilled, that's fulfilled in the church, da da da. And then there is not only the allegorical viewpoint, but there is the what is called the preterist viewpoint. The preterist viewpoint, when you interpret Bible prophecy, is a viewpoint that says all this stuff we're talking about has happened in before 70 AD. That event I told you about Titus. Well, that's not true. As a matter of fact, most Bible scholars would agree that Revelation was written in 95 A.D., not 70, not before 70 A.D. Not only that, but there's events mentioned in Revelation and in Matthew chapter 24 that had not taken place. So I certainly don't believe that view at all. And then there is the historic view that takes these, reads into these passages dealing with the covenants God made and not saying it's a literal fulfillment. But finally, there's the futuristic view, all right? Which I personally hold toward the futuristic view. All right, look up here just a moment. Notice to the left of the screen, there's a rapture. Notice to the right of the screen, there's a second coming. These are two different events. Jesus is coming again. How do I know? And why do I believe that these are two different events? Several reasons. Number one, if you'll notice the rapture, let's go back to the text. I don't know what the Bible says. I don't care what this book says and this author says. I really do. I like to read, but I want to know what the Bible says. Amen? Let's get into the Word. What does the Word say about it? Well, the Word says in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout of the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us that remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. To meet the Lord, where? In heaven. Significant. Why is that significant? I'll tell you why. Because the reference into the rapture, again, Jesus is coming back for his church, ecclesia. And the word ecclesia means church, all right? Whereas, if you look at the second coming in Revelation 19, this does not have a reference on this chart. However, we will look at that. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. The Lord will come to the earth, put his feet on the earth, and the Mount of Olives will split in two. And furthermore, the Battle of Armageddon will take place. Did you notice the difference in the two comings of our Lord? Coming in the air, coming to the earth. Coming for the church, coming with the church. In fact, if you read in Jude, verse 14, you'd see where it says he's coming with 10,000 of his saints. He says in Revelation 19, I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him is called faithful and true, and righteous, and he doth judge and make war. His eyes are a flame of fire, on his head are many crowns. He hath a vesture dipped in blood, his name is called the Word of God. So these are two different events. How many knew that? Let me see your hand. How many learned that tonight? Let me see your hand. Now, there's some that say, thank you for being honest. There's some that say these are one and the same. I have trouble with that. To say the rapture and the second coming of Christ could be the same. And there's a number of reasons why I have trouble with it. And we'll talk further about that more in detail if you'd particularly like to know. All right. You got your questions. Let's move to those Q&A time. Q&A time. All right. Share with me some questions and let's dialogue for a minute. We've covered a lot of ground thus far. I encourage you to follow up on this. Q&A time. Oh, you got some ready? Okay. Somebody want to read those for us? Brother Bubba, you want to read these for us? Come on and read these for us, brother. Thank you, Brother Kenny. I don't know if there's maybe one or two. Maybe you got some other questions that you want to talk about.
It says in the Bible about Israel being attacked shows sign of the end times. Israel has been attacked for the past 400 years. What makes it significant now?
All right, it shows in the Bible Israel's being attacked. Where does it show in the Bible Israel's being attacked? That's my first question. Where are you talking about in the Bible? All right, and it does. I agree. But where are you talking about? Next, and I'll share it with you where. If somebody ever wrote that question they like or somebody knows can share that with me. Number two. All right. Israel has been attacked the last 400 years, really more than that. By the way, let me share something real important. Can y'all still listen and take in? Can you retain what I'm fixing to share? This is really important when you interpret Bible, the Bible in general. The first 2,000 years, they were only Gentiles. Check that out if you don't believe me. The first 2,000 years of human history, the word is Goy, G-O-Y. It's found in Genesis chapter 10 concerning Noah's sons. Who were Noah's sons? Who? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The word is God, meaning the first 2,000 years of human history, Gentiles. There were no Jews. How many knew that? No Jews. Hello. Gentiles. They were believing Gentiles. And really technically, watch this. I don't mean to, but I fix it, and I'll repeat this throughout our study. It's important when you go to the Bible where you know who's talking to who. The Gentiles, believing Gentiles. Enoch was a believing Gentile. Noah was a believing Gentile. Not a Jew, not a Christian, a believing Gentile. And then, after the first 2,000 years, we find out the second strand of the human race. Who was that? Who was that? The Jews. Where's that found? Genesis where?
Well,
hey, now, we're studying our Bible. I'll be honest with you. But witnesses, they know their Bible. It's time we know ours. Amen? Genesis 20.
Well.
Are you sure? All right. You tell me. You tell me. Genesis 12, God calls Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and makes this covenant with Abraham. And the Jews are, he's called the Hebrew, first mentioned in the Bible. And then the word Jew is mentioned further in the scripture in Kings chapter 16, verse 7. The first mention of Jews. The next 2,000 years, the focus is on the Jews. But then we come to the New Testament. And after Jesus was crucified and buried, he rose again. What did he tell his disciples? He said he's coming back. What did he tell them to do? He did, but before that, what about in Luke chapter 24? What did he tell the disciples? Remember that they'd been with the Lord 3 years, preached, talked, cast out demons, etc., etc. But there's one thing they needed, and what did he tell them to do?
Be empowered on high.
To wait for the Holy Spirit. How many remember that? Where was that found? When was that fulfilled?
Acts.
Acts where? Pentecost. Where's that found in the Bible? Acts chapter 2. Very good. That is the day of Pentecost. We call that the birthday of the church. And from that point on, hey, now you may disagree with this, but in Matthew 24 and in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, if you'll know who's Jesus talking to, who's he talking to? Peter, James, and John. Who were they? They were disciples, but what was their human race? Jews. That is important that we recognize that. Because a lot of times we just read in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say, all right, those are Christians, those are Christians, those are Christians. Technically speaking, those are Jews. And this is important when you read and you interpret Bible prophecy to know who he's talking to. So from Acts 2, that is when they first, the birthday of the church, the Christian era for the next 2,000 years. The book of Daniel, spoke of the Gentiles. The book of Ezekiel, written to Jews. The book of Revelation, to Christians. Okay? All right. Where we're at, we're on the question. The Jews have been attacked for the last 400 years. That's what got us on this discussion. Really, you could trace it way back before then, could you not? Now, did the question say, Brother Bubba, what makes us think that this is any more different than back then? Is that the gist of the question? All right. So the question is, where in the Bible do these... Does Israel attack? Who knows where in the Bible Israel is attacked? Israel 38. Where?
Israel 38.
In Ezekiel 38. What are the nations mentioned there? Do you know? All right. The king of the north is mentioned in Daniel chapter 11. And the king of the south. The king of the north is who? Syria. The king of the south is who? Egypt. And there may be different viewpoints on that exactly, but Ezekiel 38 describes these, watch this, and we're going to get further into this next week. The alignment of nations, these are nations that attack Israel. Russia, Gog and Magog. Egypt, Syria, Ukraine, Turkey, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Sudan, Somalia, Ethiopia, and Libya are mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and they're mentioned in Psalm 83, another coalition of nations, namely Moab, Ammon, Jordan, Moab, Ammon, and Edom, which is found in Jordan, Jabal, Tyre, which is found in Lebanon. We don't have a picture of Israel right now, but we'll cover this next week. And then the Hagarites, which are in Egypt, the Ishmaelites, which are in Saudi Arabia, Amalek and Philistia, which are in Gaza. All right, very good. And then Syria. So you can see some of these nations that are listed right here in Ezekiel 38, 39. So what makes this? Let me ask you this. Do you think this was the type that mentioned whoever wrote this? If you are, would you shake your head that this is what you meant by Israel being attacked now? I'm not sure who wrote this question, but I want to try to find out, is this the attack you're referring to in the Bible? Okay. Good. Hallelujah. That's very good. We're going to talk more about this next week. Come back next week. Amen. It's going to be good. Very good question.
You may have to take this more than 5 weeks.
Amen. Glory to God. All right. Any other questions before we get ready to do business with God? Yes, Jan.
Have you ever heard it preached that the rapture would take place when the two witnesses are taken to heaven in about 3.5 years instead of...
Yes. Kay Alford is the one who teaches that. Did y'all know that? How many knew that? She teaches a mid-tribulation rapture. So I've been told. I've not read it. But, and there's others who believe that. I personally... do not hold to that view. I personally, and I'm not saying right, anybody else is wrong, but just at this point, this is where the Lord's led me, the pre-tribulation view. Why? Because from the study of God's Word, number one, Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, John says, I will keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the whole world. And the word from is the word ek, E-K. It's a preposition which means from as in out of. Not from as in through the tribulation time, rather from as in from, separated from. Number one. Number two, the second reason that I believe personally that the church will not be during the tribulation era is because, number two, the word, and what I told you, the word church is... in the original language, ecclesia. Let's say it together. Ecclesia. Say it again. Ecclesia. Ek means out of. Ecclesia means assemble. Called out assembly. We are the blood bought, the blood washed church. So we've learned a couple of new words tonight. Alia and ecclesia. Here's the point. You go back to Revelation chapter 4. You see the word church is used numerous times in chapter 2 and 3, ecclesia. However, you won't find the word church mentioned at all from chapter 4 to chapter, all the way up to chapter, after chapter 18. You won't find the word church at all. And so, the conclusion in my heart is the church won't be here during that time. Now, I know what you're thinking. Some of you are thinking, you mean the church? This business of the church getting scot-free and the pie in the sky and not having to go through tribulation, as in here on earth, and persecution. I'm not talking about during the 7 years of tribulation, but I'm talking about right now. Who's that I was talking with earlier about the Coptic Christians being killed, their church being burned, as we are talking. I talked to somebody tonight. Hey, don't get this idea that we're not going to be tried, and we're not going to go through tribulation, not in the tribulation sense as in Revelation, but the word tribulation, by the way, is the word thlipsis, which means pressure. How many are feeling pressure these days? Amen? It's not popular to be a Christian today. Ye all that will live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to intensify. How many believe that right now in America there are laws being passed, namely the hate crime laws, and some more that I believe are heading our way that are absolutely meant to stifle the witness of the church of the living God. Hallelujah, that's coming our way. Hallelujah, it's already here. And so, by no means do I think this is just an easy, quick fix and we'll be gone and everybody else goes through hell on earth at that time. I think we're going to experience more and more intensified persecution. But I still personally hold toward the pre-trib view. And here's another verse that the Lord gave me. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not upon us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's a great question. Let me answer a couple ways. All right? Question. Why is the tribulation anyway? What is the tribulation meant to accomplish?
People have another chance. People that didn't choose them the first time, they won't have a chance.
Wow. I wish we had another hour.
Hey, this is a great question. Hallelujah.
Oh, my. So you mentioned, let me back up before I address what was just mentioned. The question is, what was the purpose of the tribulation? Several purposes. Number one, for the evangelization of the Jews. How many of you read over there in Revelation 7, Revelation 14, is important. The 144,000 Jews supernaturally sealed, by the way, contrary to what the Jehovah's Witnesses think, this isn't just the Jehovah's Witnesses. This fact is in the Jehovah's Witnesses. These are Jews in the tribulation time. So, and why am I saying that? I'm not saying that to be ugly, but I'm saying this. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. 2 Peter 1:20. No prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. The word interpretation there is the word epiluso, which means to disclose. That's where a lot of cults get started. But, so back to the question, what is the purpose of tribulation? Evangelize the Jews. What is the purpose of tribulation? To accomplish the times of the Gentiles. And then, finally, what are the purposes of the tribulation? To defeat the devil who's tried to usurp authority over God from the very beginning. From a satanocracy to a theocracy, what was once in the Garden of Eden. Okay? Alright? So, as I look at those purposes found for the book of Revelation, then I say, well, where would the church fit in all of that? And that's where I come to my conclusions for the pre-trib view rather than the mid-trib view. Alright, back to the comment that was made about, briefly, and then we're going to have a time of dedication here. Back to the comment about, what was the comment made that you made, Lynn? Oh, yes. That was another question that was asked of me earlier. Can people be saved after the rapture? Now, where does that say in the Bible? I want to know what the Bible says. Not what I think, not my opinion. If it doesn't make a reference to the Bible, I can share my opinion, but I want to know what it says in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 following says, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, for this cause shall God send them a strong delusion, they might believe a lie, that they might all be damned, because they received not the truth, but at pleasure in unrighteousness. Bottom line is this, some believe only those who've never heard the gospel will have the opportunity to be saved during the tribulation. We do know there's going to be a great multitude that's going to be saved coming out of the tribulation, having made their robes white, washed in the blood of the Lamb. How do I know that? Revelation 7, Revelation 5 tells us that. So anyway, all right.
It's for the Jews during that period of time to be saved.
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't others be saved during that time?
There will be others saved. There will be a great multitude. A great multitude.
For everyone
then. Absolutely, a great multitude. However, there are some who specify only those who have not heard the gospel. Why? Because that passage in 2 Thessalonians 2 calls they receive not the love of the truth here on this life, God shall send them a strong delusion. They might believe a lie. Bottom line is this. How many believe you can get saved when you want to get saved? How many believe you can get saved only when the Spirit of God draws you? And you see, when the Spirit of God draws, and see, here's the deal. And I don't know if you agree with this or not, but all you got to do is read Romans 1. Romans chapter 1, Paul said this, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither they were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an incorruptible man, and four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them over to uncleanness, to the lust of the flesh, they might dishonor the bodies between themselves, having changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. Here's the bottom line. Today, when the Word of God's preached, we are in dangerous ground to say no to the truth of God. When we say no to what God the Holy Ghost is saying to us, then we become open up to the lies of the devil. And that's where a lot of people are at today. They've been deceived. I may believe that. It may be somebody you tonight as we stand.